This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Billy Jack, a podcast series, a live watch podcast series. I don't know if I said that or not in all the other ones, but
I think you did.
A podcast series where we watch some of the greatest wrestling matches of all time and discuss those through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. My name is Drew.
And are you the non-wrestling fan?
Yes. I am.
You hate
and
wrestling.
These are my eyes.
Yeah.
My eyes are my own. No, the non-wrestling fan is Jordan Darby.
Hello.
One comment we've gotten is that the commenter appreciated, of course, it was our mutual friend Douglas, okay. Appreciated that I only give out my first name, but I give your full name for maximum hate mail.
You would probably love to give out all my information.
And I try to.
At
the end of every episode.
If you knew my social security number and my mother's maiden name and all that, I feel like this would get really out of hand.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Really quick, too. So the background of the show, of course, inspired by Jeff Learns Wrestling, also on the Place to Be Nation podcast feed. But Jordan and I are longtime friends. I am a wrestling fan. Jordan is not. And I've compiled a list somewhat arbitrarily of matches that have the reputation of being the greatest matches of all time. And it's kind of a social experiment here. I want Jordan to watch them and see if he can capture some of that feeling of why these would be considered the greatest matches of all time. And we do a live watch and we just respond. We just talk about the matches and I just want to hear Jordan respond to them. All that being said, this is a little bit of a special episode. We're taking a deviation from our usual chronological progression of greatest matches. We're watching two matches that are not considered to be the greatest of all time. Generally, these are considered to be great matches, but these are two of my personal favorite matches, and I just wanted Jordan to watch these since we would not otherwise do so.
Unless I was forced to in such a setting.
Yes. And believe me, if we... we're kind of limiting ourselves, or I'm limiting this series to like a very doable amount of episodes.
Right.
Because, man, I think every day of the rabbit hole. Yeah.
We'd end up in.
Ugh.
Would be nightmarish.
Truly nightmarish.
It'd be like the 30 seconds in Event Horizon when he pulls up the log.
Yes.
And it's like this gnarliness.
Yes. It would be that stretched out over the course of 50 something weeks.
Yeah.
Survival Tobita. Extraterrestrial life. Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin promos.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, the good people on your podcast feed or network or whatever it is, they were gracious enough to grant you the limited space. That you're getting, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're enjoying the time that we have.
Absolutely. And I do want to... Yeah, I do want to make sure I actually finish this, because Lord knows everything else I start, I don't finish. coming to you live once again from the body dump. Again, not in the comfort of a household, but in the practice space. So, any extracurricular noises anyone may hear... our apologies.
Yeah, it's been unusually quiet tonight, so...
Yeah, conspicuous.
I'm actually, like, a little nervous that your car may or may not be here.
No, no, it's not.
When
it will not be here.
John was saying that they someone took off the license plates of the guy's car. You know, the guy who has the, it's kind of like a hobby shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he tell you that?
No, someone took that.
He just came out and his license plate was gone.
God, really? Then, well, during the day?
I think so, yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
You know, I left my car in, I left that car in Oxnard
the other day. You left your heart in Oxnard.
Yeah, my heart. I went out with APS on some calls. And
it's cool, guys. I'll just park here.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, whatever. It'll be fine. And it was, but like leaving your car and all, and it's like a new shiny car.
Yeah, you just never know.
Never know.
I mean, you know, when my brother lived, you know, in the Lemonwood area, he got his license plate
Lemon
sold.
Lemon Grove, sorry, right? Lemon yeah, Grove.
He got his license plate sold.
Yeah,
like
a
twice.
Bunch. Yeah, yeah. Well, there you are, and here we are.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Anyways,
let's escape now into this fantastic world of.
Listen, you're joking.
I but think escape this is it. The running theme.
Yes,
here.
This is it. You understand? Yeah. I don't have to deal with APS calls.
Yeah.
Or my license plate getting stolen.
Right, exactly.
All I have to deal with
is a curly-haired giant sitting on your face.
Yeah. But then I also have wrestling to turn to.
You are so sick. Oh.
All right. Our match today. The Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express. This match is from Wrestle War 90. The promotion is the NWA / WCW.
Okay.
We've seen this company before. But it's a year later, 1990. So we're
like,
gonna,
have we seen like WCW?
Not technically yet. It's still the NWA at this point.
Okay.
It's not, but it's essentially in its final form.
Okay.
It's NWA in name only.
Okay.
So this is from the Wrestle War 90 show. We're gonna, you know, the point of this and is we're gonna do a watch along. We're going to talk about the match as it happens. We're not going to do our regular questions afterwards because it's not. I just want you to watch this and respond to it. Sounds and we'll just kind of share some general thoughts afterwards. And we're going to watch another match then after that as well. So here we go. If you're watching along at home, I don't have the WWE Network pulled up on this. That's not where we're watching it from because. Well, my computer is too old to connect to the WWE Network, so it's on some other horrible link. But anyways,
yeah, you're getting a virus on your computer right now, probably.
Yeah, I am, and that's fine with me. So we're watching this match from, if you want to watch along, Norman the Lunatic is sitting on Cactus Jack's face.
Dude, that's a mouthful right there.
Yeah.
I mean, pull yourself out of this, like, world. And realize like what are we doing here? What is this? I won't.
Yeah, it's okay. So we're gonna go 3, 2, 1, play. All right, ready? 3, and so this is just before they cut to the promo, the Midnight Express promo. 3, 2, 1, play.
The last time you met the Rock and Roll Express, you came out victorious. However, tonight things may change.
Oh, lots of things change in life. People change, places change, things change. The Berlin Wall came tumbling down. Preachers and politicians fall off their pedestal. New ones rise up to take their place. And a lot of things change in professional wrestling, especially over the last couple of years. But some things never change. The Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, still the greatest tag team matchup in the history of professional wrestling. Some things never change. We still hate the Rock and Roll Express's filthy, stinking guts. And some things never change today. Today,
did they ever swear on these?
Yeah, sometimes. Not much.
Nothing crazy.
Right.
Because the Midnight have faced the Rock and Roll more times than
even during the era with like the Bikini Babes and all that.
Then they would, yeah, much more. Yeah. We're still the greatest tag team combination in the history of professional wrestling. Always have been and always will be, regardless of who says different. Stan,
what day is this? The day the music died. Rock and roll. Let's go back
to the ring, please. Oh, baby. All right. So, yeah, so you see it says WCW right there. Got it. So it's essentially WCW. Technically, it's still the NWA, but yeah. Yeah, so now that was the Midnight Express. That was Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette, does that person seem familiar? So, Robert Gibson, Ricky, so there's Robert Gibson there. There's Ricky Morton. Robert Gibson as a lazy guy.
No, I wouldn't believe it.
I'm just going to get that out there.
There's nothing lazy about that person, dude.
Well, you are right about that.
I'm just going to get that out there.
Here we go. The Midnight Express.
So this is a lot more like what I think of when I think of wrestling.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're really hamming this up already.
Yeah. Sweet Stan there. On the right, beautiful Bobby on the left.
And the main guy, the promoter guy, was holding like a tennis racket.
Yeah.
Is that significant anyway?
We'll see.
Okay.
The guy said in his promo, Jim Cornette said, the greatest tag team matchup of all time, Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express. And that's like true.
Huh.
Yeah.
He's sketchy, dude.
Yeah. These teams... Hold on. So, these teams have feuded at this point for 7 or 8 years. On and off, you know.
Dude, that guy is like hyped on himself.
Oh yeah. Well, there you go. These teams have feuded in different promotions for years at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 or 4 different promotions, like big name. They made like a lot of money together.
Okay,
you know, they were big time like draws and everything. You know,
yeah, yeah.
In like the Southern Territories.
Okay,
so this match, this is kind of like their last hurrah. It's 1990, so things are kind of changing. You know, and they're getting older, but this is like. They had a couple matches after this, but in terms of like big time significant matches, this is kind of it. So.
Okay. And are they, how cognizant of that are they? I mean, are they pretty aware?
I think in some capacity, probably.
Are a lot of these wrestlers aware of their own mortality in that sense?
Well, I mean, in actuality, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the eternal question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating career.
Yeah.
These guys and their... what goes on in their brains.
Yeah. Uh-oh. We got a little hiccup here. I apologize. Let's see what's going on.
I think it's still...
Still connected?
Yeah, I think so.
This is a real questionable operation we're running, so I do apologize. Jordan, first and foremost, but to everyone. Yeah, there you go. I just skipped forward a little bit.
See what happens.
Yeah. So this will be I'm not going to tell you what a Southern tag match consists of, but this is a very, to me, like a great example, like one of the best examples of a very traditional Southern style tag match.
Okay.
And so at this point, we haven't seen a tag team match.
No.
Do you know what that means?
I mean, is it that they're there to fight each other one at a time?
Yeah.
And you have to, like, touch the other guy to get him in, and you have to get out.
Yes.
And then is it over when everyone is tagged out except for on one team? So, like, if he gets, I mean, everyone's been pinned on one team, so if he gets one of the Midnight guys, then they just got to go to the other Midnight guy. And then once
no,
they get him,
no.
Okay.
It's just one, whoever gets pinned.
Okay, whoever gets pinned, and that team loses.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that, there would be a rule, maybe like a elimination match or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard, but
dude.
So Jim,
this guy's a ham.
Jim Cornette fanning Sweet Stan off there with his tennis racket needs to take a cool down a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know if you heard the commentary say that these teams know each other so well because they countered each other real quick in
right.
Sequence. Yeah, so that's
and
like
ref just shoved the guy out of the ring.
Uh oh.
Yeah, they're really hamming it up right now.
Yeah, look.
Dude.
Jim Cornette's jacket is off.
He's a big guy.
Yeah. Doughy. Very doughy.
Doughy.
Jim Cornette. Well, uh-oh, here we go.
So now he's begging the ref to hit him. Whoa. They're trying to get the ref to fight him.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh my gosh, dude. This is ridiculous. This is like a child who loves the attention. That guy?
Yes.
He's like a little boy who's like,
eating it up.
Yeah,
just
he's like,
eating
he's
it
just,
up.
He's just loving this.
Yeah. So, there you go. Jim Cornette very upset that Nick Patrick was going to fight.
So, was this on like TBS or?
See, this would have been a pay-per-view.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these guys are like, they're playing with each other pretty well.
Yeah.
They know exactly what's going on.
Yes.
So when they move throughout these different promotions, did they move as a team?
Yeah, the teams moved.
Yeah, like you stayed with your guy and you just went.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the Midnight Express's case, it was like the three of them.
Crazy.
Just all moved, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, three or four promotions, and it was like, you know, they'd go somewhere, and then a little bit later, the Rock and Roll Express would come in, and yeah.
And everyone got paid.
Everyone got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they made, like, I want to say, I could have the figures wrong, but in like 1986, it was like you know, each of the Midnight Express, like all three of them, made like, you know, over $100,000 a year.
Dude.
Which is, I mean, you know, 1986 is
that's
good
a lot
money.
Of money.
Yeah. So we've got, so now this is, we got Beautiful Bobby in there.
Okay.
And do you know he is one of my very, very favorite wrestlers of all time?
I was going to say, you have to love that team, the Sweet Stan.
Yeah, I mean, they're the best tag team of all time. Like, hands down, no contest. The only contest would be them, the Rock and Roll Express. And the Midnight Express is better, I think. Yeah, Beautiful Bobby. I mean, like I said, one of my very, very favorite. And he is, like, a great, great wrestler. Hell of a body. Face like a beehive.
Did he ever wrestle on his own?
Look at this.
Whoa, he's climbing the guy's face.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah, so he had single, like a little string of singles matches, and he was a very good singles wrestler. He never like got to be like a real top guy, but I mean he was very good. So this is one of the first like big tag team matches that I remember as a kid.
Okay.
Because this is the promotion that I watched.
Okay.
All the way. So I saw. Tell me if I are you able to.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I was in Mississippi visiting my grandma, or my great-grandma, and she was a big wrestling fan, and so she watched this company, and I saw this on TV, not this match, but this company on TV, and so I started watching it when I went home, and so it was like, I always watched this instead of the WWF, because I thought you could only watch like one.
Huh.
It was like you had to be on this team, you know?
Chose this.
Yeah.
And now they're bringing the guy in again.
So Jim Cornette, yeah.
He's a real big part of the gimmick.
Oh, yeah. Huge part.
So, like, now, for instance, modern day contemporary wrestling.
Jim Cornette got punched. I don't know if you saw that. Robert Gibson punched him. He's down for the count.
He's trying to fan himself.
Yeah.
If you're part of like a oh my look at that. Gosh, come on.
Sweet Stan doing a little chest compressions there.
That okay. This is really ridiculous. So if you're part of a tag team now, is that all you do or
no,
not necessarily?
Not really. No. So like WWE or F or whatever.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon famously doesn't like tag team wrestling because he considers it to be too southern. Because that was like tag team wrestling. Like I said, these guys were like main eventers and would make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that was like a southern thing. It wasn't like that in the north. Or, like, in New York, you know, like, where WWF was. And so, like, managers, there's not a lot of managers, really, anymore.
That guy is something else.
Jim Cornette?
Yeah, Jim Cornette.
Yeah, like, total character.
Yeah, big time.
He's, like, still kind of around today.
Really?
Like, he's got a podcast.
Okay.
And, like...
He's still hustling.
Yeah. Like, runs his mouth about everything. And, you know, the whole deal. He's, like, he's always, you know, in character. And so we're kind of, like, getting into the match now.
Yeah.
So what are your impressions of, like, the actual... physical interactions between the wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell, like, they're super familiar with each other.
Yeah.
They're throwing each other all over the place.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bounce back where, like, one guy will throw another guy out, and then the team member will be waiting, and he'll do a move. It's like, it's all flowing into itself.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty seamless.
Yeah. Do they do a lot of tag team wrestling in, like, Japan?
Yeah. All Japan, especially in through the 90s, that was like a big thing. And we'll watch one of those matches. But I mean, they would have huge main events, like 16,000-17,000 people with a tag team
based
match.
On a tag team.
Yeah, New Japan wasn't quite the same. They were always more focused on singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly now they're much more focused on singles matches.
There was a big banner with a hotline number. Yeah, what was that?
Did you see that?
Yeah, he just jacked him out of the ring.
Yeah. Beautiful Bobby and Ricky.
Beautiful Bobby.
Go tumbling over. yeah, so that was the WCW hotline.
And so what's the purpose
of that? 1-900-909-9900. So it's like you know, the 1-900 numbers that they used to have?
Yeah.
So you can call and you can, like, get some insider news.
Yes.
And there at one time,
Did you ever call it?
No. My parents would have killed me.
Dude, they would have freaked out.
Yeah, they would have freaked out. At one time, there was a like an option on there where you could call and listen to someone calling the match. You know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pay-per-view matches. So who's, you know, I don't know if anyone was doing that.
Did anyone ever do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Because that's your, it's like however many minutes, dollars a minute, $2 a minute times 3 hours.
Right.
So I don't know. So you'll see there now that Jim Cornette got a little involved with the tennis racket.
Yeah.
It's gotten a little more serious now.
Yeah, and they finally did try to attempt to pin one of the guys.
Yeah.
That was kind of the first time they...
Yeah.
They've just been beating on each other.
Yeah. And so...
What's the quote-unquote rule about multiple guys being in at the same time? That's the whole thing, right, is... I'm gonna get in there and get him for a minute, and then the ref will get me out of here type thing.
Yeah, so it's like the idea is when you tag, you have 5 seconds
to like do the switch.
To do the switch, but I mean, of course, that, you know, it's very liberal.
And then it's kind of like when the guy gets thrown out of the ring, anything kind of goes, right? Like the partner will run around and start trying to jack on him.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's supposed to be behind the ref's back.
Yeah, yeah. Got it.
So I guess I should ask, do you have an idea of who the good guy is and who the bad guy team is?
No, I don't.
Oh, really?
No.
So the Midnight Express, they're the bad guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense with Jim Cornette?
He seems like a villain unto himself, but like I didn't really get the impression that the wrestlers were.
Okay, yeah.
But he seems like, who could like him?
Right. Yeah. And he's one of the best managers of all time.
I believe it. Yeah.
There's like maybe one other guy that's as good as him.
I mean, he's really going all in.
Yeah. So, what's going on now? So, Ricky Morton, the Rock and Roll Express, they were famous for Ricky Morton. He would always get beat up for the majority of the match.
Okay.
You know? And that's like the classic, Ricky Morton gets beat up and then, we'll see from there. But, and they're sticking, you know, true to that. Okay. And again, in their matches, you know, it's, that was always the classic thing as well.
Yeah.
And Ricky Morton still wrestles.
The battery is running low. Just so you know.
Oh no. Well, we shouldn't need it for much longer. I do apologize. Mm-hmm. You can turn it off also. Or like, you know, like just shut the screen off. That's fine. So you see they had a pinfall attempt, but Jim Cornette was distracting the ref.
Beautiful Bobby.
And what they would do sometimes is Jim Cornette would be locked in a cage, like a shark cage dangling above the ring.
Are you serious?
Yes. Which like was always really funny, but
one time he fell and broke his spine or something.
No, one time he did jump off a scaffold and broke his leg. because Big Bubba didn't catch him. Big Bubba lost him in the lights.
Big Bubba lost him in the lights.
Wow. Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's a metaphor. There's a deep metaphor there.
But yeah, so like, you know, Jim Cornette would be in the cage above, and those matches were never quite as good because he adds such an element big on the time. Outside, you know.
Yeah, dude, he's standing.
Yeah. So again, this is like
par for the course. Yeah. Beating this guy up.
Yes, and remember we talked about the structure, how it's like the baby faces, they get the crowd going, and then the heels, they take over and they beat up on the baby faces.
Right.
And then there's a big comeback.
They rise. And, yeah.
So this is like a perfect example of that, you know?
What year is this?
1990. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, a very big transition year, obviously. Like, yeah. trying to, like, become the 90s, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But you still had a lot of, like, traditional teams and guys and stuff hanging on.
Right.
That were still viable in a lot of ways, but, you know, a lot more of the big, because you notice these guys aren't, like, big and jacked.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you had like them trying to go in that direction, and that's how it had been. Like they had more strong guys coming in over the past couple of years as well.
Right.
Uh oh. Sweet Stan.
Sweet Stan.
Oh boy. Yeah, so Ricky Morton, like the Rock and Roll Express, still wrestles today. Whoa. Yeah, like
that's dark.
Ricky Morton is like he like a hustler.
Oh.
Like you see the bandanas,
yeah,
that he's got. He'll like there's stories of like,
no.
well, I mean, obviously he's just you know, in the back he's just tearing those up and trying to sell them. You know, there's stories of like wrestlers, they'll be like driving to a show, let's say. And they'll drive by Ricky Morton pulled over on the side of the road, like having stopped someone on the side of the road, and him like ripping bandanas, trying to sell them to people, to people that he's like pulled over, like flagged down or whatever, you know. Awesome.
Guy needs a benefactor to take care of him.
And so what are you, at this point in the match, what are you thinking?
I mean, this is pretty dialed. This is kind of like pro wrestling to me.
Yeah, so like, that's what I was wondering.
There's like a lot of theater going on.
Yeah.
And the guys actually wrestling, the guys, just seem really familiar with each other.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like it's fluid, but it at the same time it's like, I don't know how to say it, but like it's not phoned in, but it seems like pretty ridiculous, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, the actual like moves and that.
Yeah. So like compare that to, like, compare this to the Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage match.
Yeah.
In like execution of moves and everything, what do you see as the differences there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this has been like a carnival. Like, it's just like a 3-ring circus. There, one guy's doing something to another guy, and it's pretty like effortless in that way.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I like I said, it's hard for me to say because it doesn't feel like it's phoned in, but it feels a lot more WWF like esque.
Yeah. So when you say phoned in, do you mean like lack of effort?
No.
Or do you mean like this is more where, choreographed?
This is where like and I guess like what you were saying, like selling it.
Okay.
Like selling an injury or.
You feel like they're doing more of that or less of that?
I feel like they're doing less of that.
Okay.
But like the. Well, now it seems like it's getting pretty intense. But like the movement is there and like they're flowing.
But it's like.
It just feels like the classic, like he's. The hitting.
Yeah.
I guess just comparing this, maybe not so much to that Savage match, but like based upon like. That Japanese match,
the last one we watched,
yeah, where it just felt very
Jumbo versus Tenryu.
Jumbo, it felt very physically intense.
Yeah, that you're not getting from this.
Yeah, even though it's like they're going and it's physical.
Yeah,
this feels more like familiar, like wrestling.
Yeah,
in the American my mind.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm watching professional wrestling. I'll think of this.
Yeah.
You know, like just there.
Yeah.
It was a really well done. He got tagged in, and he comes in, and he rolls one guy, and he punches the other guy, like nothing.
Yeah, just seamless.
Seamlessly. And,
yeah.
And it looks good.
Yeah.
It just like it looks all the more fake.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though, like, I'm not blaming. That's why my vocabulary is failing me on what all this going on. But like,
yeah,
like they're doing a good job.
Yeah, but the fluidity of it. Okay, so first of all, so what happened? Robert Ricky Morton was finally able to tag Robert Gibson, and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the whole point of a tag team match. A Southern tag team match is build to. It's called a hot tag.
Okay.
So the fresh guy comes in and can clear the he can give his partner a break and he can clear the ring.
Right. It changed like the momentum.
Yeah, but then he gets. The momentum gets changed again with Jim Cornette hitting Robert Gibson, but then there's a confusion in the finish, and so that's the finish.
Oh, okay.
Or so they kind of stumbled during the finish, and there you go. So okay. The Rock and Roll Express win. Now, what you were getting at was like the fluid motions and the lack of grittiness. And like,
yeah,
this feels more cooperative.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
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 Do you think it is?
Yeah. No, I mean that like, and I don't know.
Is some like weird Russian pornography going to just come on right now?
I'm sure. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So we'll shut that down. Yeah. So, I mean, that's like, which that's part of like the acceptance of pro wrestling as a fake art form, or you know as a fake sport. I guess as an art form, which is a fake sport,
right?
Of like you accept that looking smooth and cooperative is generally a good thing.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I totally wasn't trying to knock them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
For that, I don't. That's not a concern for me.
It's just a different feel.
It's just a different feel.
Yeah.
And I mean, in my view, that probably is closer to what would appeal to me.
Okay.
Than the more, like, intense, pseudo-realism, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I respect that. You know, it's respectable, but it's like, I probably, if you had to lock me in a room and say, I need you to watch X amount of hours. I'd probably rather watch like that style.
Is it a depiction of violence thing?
I think like it doesn't.
Or is it a surrealism thing?
Yeah, it might be a little of both. Like the violence, you know, I don't. It doesn't like unnerve me, but I don't like. Like I also don't look for it. Like that's not like. It's not. How would you say? It's like it's not like visceral for me to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't like watching boxing, for instance.
Right, or like UFC.
Yeah, or UFC, and yeah. I get that like why people do, but that's not like what I enjoy.
So it's that, like,
that's not how you get your Jolly Time popcorns.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. So, whereas, yeah, the more surrealistic elements
your cuties. That's not how you get your cuties.
Not, definitely not how I get my cuties. But the theater, like, the best part of that was the manager.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. So anyways, about that specific match, so that's my favorite tag team match of all time.
Okay.
It's got, like, a nostalgic element.
Yeah.
I think it's the best match that those two teams ever had, that at least have, like, made, you know, that were filmed.
Yeah.
I think it's a great representation of that style of match,
mm-hmm.
and that style of match between those two teams. It's got, like, kind of everything I want.
It's like the culmination of a lot of things.
Yeah, and it's like, it's cool that it's their last hurrah, kind mm-hmm. of, you know, like they went out, like, with a big match, you know, and like maybe their best match. So yeah, like I love that.
Yeah, match. I mean, I was very entertained by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell? Because, like, that's like, I think everyone that watches that thinks, like, oh man, that's a great match.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, near some of the other stuff that we've watched. Can you tell that?
Yeah, I think now however many episodes in, I think now.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd be able to have earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this seemed a little more pulp.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with pulp.
Yeah.
It's good to have that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're talking about, like, you know, kitschy.
Yeah.
Because in everything, there's kitschy and there's serious. Even in such a form as wrestling as a thing.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you need both of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should be able to appreciate elements of both.
Yeah.
But you can tell that's, like, a kitschy.
Yeah, and what I really like about professional wrestling is, I guess we were talking too much over a lot of the commentary. You mm-hmm. probably didn't get much of the commentary, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's not that big of a deal. But, like, the whole thing, and I've talked about this before, is making the kitsch, like, treating the kitsch as a serious thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, like, they were treating that as a serious match. I mean, then they kind of made jokes about Jim Cornette or whatever, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Jim Cornette has to be suspended above the ring in a shark cage because he's interfered too much, and this is a serious match.
I mean, that's brilliant.
And they have... Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I... That's what I love. Like, it's not...
That's, like, the purity of wrestling.
That's the purity of wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. It's not realism. Like, it's not, oh, this is, like, realistic. That's why I like this.
Yeah, exactly.
That, I don't care about that. It's treating whatever you're
absolutely
watching...
absurd.
Yeah, with, like, gravity.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that, like, that spans a lot of different... Like, I like most, pretty much all wrestling that, you know, there's something in, like, every different kind of wrestling that I like, you know?
Yeah.
Do
you like that stiff kind, or what is it called, where they're kind of emulating the grappling?
The shoot style? Yeah. Yeah, I do. So, you know, there's a couple of my favorite matches that are those kind of matches, and I haven't done, like, extensive, real deep dives into mm-hmm. all of it. But, yeah, I like it. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's, like, really bad and boring.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I like it. I don't know.
You think you like all of the whole world of that.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Yeah. But, yeah. That was just one. I wanted you to see the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette.
That was something. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So, next, what we're going to watch.
Yeah, what do you got?
We're going back to All Japan.
Okay.
And we're going back a few years. Terry Funk, who you know.
Yeah, just know like of, seeing right? him on the side as a commentator.
Yeah, but that's someone that you recognized. You had some level of recognition.
Yeah.
Prior to that, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, name only and... Whispers. I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah, but not as like a wrestler or anything.
So this is Terry Funk versus Stan Hansen. Stan Hansen, my all-time favorite wrestler.
Yeah, I've never seen him in action.
Okay, so this is April 14th, 1983, I think. 4/14, I believe. Yeah. So we're going to watch this. This is a pretty famous match as well. Again, I don't think many people would consider it to be like one of the best, you know, but like a great match, and it kind of encompasses, again, like a lot of like what makes pro wrestling great.
Okay.
So let's see here. Oh, and you know what I should say? All right. So again, this is not on WWE Network or anything. If you're watching along, we're starting this right as Terry Funk's music hits. You know, in whatever version of this match you're watching.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Okay, so we're going to do that in 3, 2, 1, play.
Should I turn this off?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So you got to pay attention to this now. So there you go. There Whoa. You go. Terry Funk cheerleaders.
Oh, my gosh.
And a big sign for Stan wow. Lariat Hansen.
That's a gnarly sign.
Yeah. There's one for Terry Funk.
Texas Bronco. So this is like a southern.
So this is in Japan.
But it's in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry Funk at this point was like a huge, huge babyface.
Okay.
The crowd obviously loves him. You can try to see him through the
but they're eating him alive.
Yeah, that crowd of people.
That's hustle, Terry. That's cool.
Yeah. And so yeah, he huge babyface in all Japan pro wrestling.
How do you break through over there?
And there's Tenryu right there. Younger Tenryu. So what he did, he was in a tag team with his brother Dory.
Okay.
And they had a series of matches against Abdullah the Butcher and the Sheik, and the original Sheik, of course.
Is he the one who was crying over the...
No, that's okay. The Iron Sheik.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to cut that story off because Stan Hansen's coming out.
Okay.
So we're gonna watch him now.
Whoa.
So what's going on?
He's being really aggressive towards the crowd. Is he like swinging? What is he swinging?
A bull rope.
Dude.
At the fans.
Yeah, he was swinging on all the fans with this bull rope.
Yeah. And so that's. So what's going on now?
They're already talking crap to each other, and they're furious. Yeah. They're both furious.
Yeah. So anyways, Terry and Dory, they had the tag team matches against Abdullah the Butcher and the Sheik.
Okay.
That's what propelled him to be like a real big time babyface. He was in All Japan years before that, but that really turned him.
So Stan Hansen is the heel.
Yes,
that's and crazy. That
he was technically a heel, but his whole time in Japan.
Okay,
but I mean.
But they loved him.
They loved him.
Fan favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny.
And that was a bit, like, people, like, he would get crazy with the people and with the bell, you know? But the people kind of loved it, too.
So, who's the wrestler that you said was just super ignorant and, like, didn't really respect, like, trying to choreograph with the other guy and often was pretty physically, like, brash? You told me about some guy years ago that, like, was really rough.
I mean, him, probably.
I'm assuming it was him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and his whole thing, he's legally blind without his glasses.
Right. Yeah,
and so, like, he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
Because you said... You said, like, other wrestlers sometimes would get mad at him.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, he's the kind of guy that, like, you have to fight him. And like you know how the match, it's like, oh, you know, you sell, you take these moves, you did something to me, oh, it's gonna hurt. It's like, you have to make it count with him, and you have to, like, fight for everything you get.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'll just, like, totally swallow you up.
Yeah, you love that, probably.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could obviously go on, like, endlessly about him, but, like, he's a big guy.
He is. He's scary looking.
Yeah, a big guy. And just watch his punches, and just watch everything he does.
Yeah.
He's not stomping his feet.
That's exactly. Punching. That's why he looks like he'd be sketchy to do this with.
Yeah.
Like, because he looks pretty, just brazen.
Yeah.
It's like, you might get hurt, dude.
Yeah. So, like you see how Terry Funk was gonna pick him up and body slam him.
Yeah.
But Stan Hansen didn't let him. It's like, he's not gonna let you do that. Yeah. Like, so what are you gonna do now?
Yeah.
And like he'll sell stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But like you have to earn it.
That's crazy.
I love that. Like you see.
Yeah. Watch, he's just going on. Yeah, he's so physical.
Something about Stan Hansen. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's running constantly or anything. He's always moving.
Yeah.
Like he never stops. And he won't get tired. Like, he's...
Yeah.
I love conditioning in pro wrestling. Like, cardiovascular conditioning.
I mean, he's like a big old bull.
Yeah.
He's just like a... Like a farm animal.
Yeah. And it's like... It's not like he's wrestling and sprinting around and doing a million things and going a million miles an hour. He's just never stopping.
Yeah.
And so these two, both of these guys, people, like a lot of people consider both of them to be, you know, the single, you know, the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Okay. How often do they do these, like, gaijin on gaijin?
So at this time, this is when it was really starting to change, at least... I mean, they would do, you know, tag team matches between them, you know, a lot. But in the 80s, it started to be the barriers. Because it used to be really based on, you know, native wrestlers versus kind of foreign gaijin invaders, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, through the 70s and into the 80s and beyond, into the 80s is when everything really started to change, you know? But this was more common, say, than, like, like singles Japanese versus Japanese feuds, you know?
Yeah. So, like, even today, are there a lot of Americans that will wrestle over there?
Yes.
Like, American on American?
Yes. Yeah, and more New Japan pro wrestling, you know? That's the second biggest company in the world right now.
Okay.
And they're really trying to expand worldwide. So there's a lot of...
Outside,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestlers.
Did he just headbutt him?
Yeah, crawl...
He's ramming into him on all fours.
Yeah. So what's been your impressions so far of the action we've seen?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems pretty brash. Like, it's just like... really throwing their weight into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, like technical moves and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a bar fight.
Yeah.
Which, the Stan Hansen guy, he seems like a real crap kicker. Like...
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to, like, run into him in some redneck bar somewhere.
No.
I mean, he's huge and, like, ignorant looking.
Yeah.
But like you said, he's all soft-spoken, I guess.
Yeah. And, like, like really gentle. He like, presents himself, like, very gently.
Yeah.
The crowd is chanting for Terry. I don't know if you heard that or not.
Yeah, I heard them cheering for him. And then when when Stan Hansen was really going on the guy, like, it was silent.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want him to do that.
Terry's mannerisms and stuff, what do you think of those?
Yeah, he's pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, Stan Hansen's, like,
meat and potatoes. He hasn't done anything like remotely like that once.
Right.
Whereas Terry's been flipping and flopping all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, I... Stan Hansen, when he wrestles Giant Baba...
No.
It's a thing of beauty. Because he'll take, like, those big bumps.
Yeah.
For Giant Baba. Ugh.
It's a thing of beauty.
We'll see. I would love to show you a Giant Baba match, just so you could see him.
Yeah, it's probably as ridiculous as it sounds.
He's awesome.
Did anyone ever use, like, smoking as a gimmick? Like, coming in with, like, a lit cigarette and, like, smoking?
Man, I'm glad you asked that. I mean,
I'm just trying to think of how far these jokers have taken some of this stuff.
Well, like, there's times, like, in the 90s, like, there's a guy... Do you know who The Big Show is?
I've heard that name, yeah.
So there'd be times in WCW when he would come out smoking cigarettes.
Dude, that's so ignorant.
Dude. Or, yeah, totally. Or a few years ago, there's a WWE guy named R-Truth, and he... would light cigarettes. He would come out and light cigarettes, which is like, look at this.
Yeah, we got blood
Terry's bleeding.
Yeah.
And you notice that was just done like with, obviously Terry did it himself, but the effect was just his boots and his fists.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Right.
Not a chair or a ring post or anything. And so R-Truth would come out and light cigarettes, and that was. During, like, real PG, like, family-friendly, real, like, corporate environment. Dude, and one time, he's a black guy, R-Truth.
Okay.
He came out dressed as a Confederate soldier.
No, dude.
Incredible.
No, that's, like, the lowest hanging fruit, like...
Dude, great.
Possible.
So good. That's, like...
Oh, that my gosh.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that a lot of Mountain Dew was spit out of a lot of mouths... at that moment,
man.
In pure excitement and shock.
It was great. And it was like, yeah, he... genius. And it was in, I forget where exactly it was in. Maybe like North or South Carolina or something. But he like made fun of everyone. It was a great thing. It was like real old school feeling, you know?
R-Truth.
Yeah. Justin and Doug and I, that's a big favorite of ours. So Terry...
Yeah, Terry's on the ropes, and he's been just getting hammered on.
Essentially the whole match.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crowd is still behind him. Oh, so that's his lariat. The Stan Hansen, the Western lariat.
Okay.
You see that?
Yeah, yeah.
If he hits... So... He never let... Like, okay, remember the Jumbo match, the Tenryu match? Jumbo kicked out of a powerbomb, which
yes,
is kind of like
yes.
his finishing
it
move.
Is,
you know?
Yeah, it was his finishing move.
And that's... that. You know, sometimes that'll happen. Stan Hansen never let anyone kick out...
Of that lariat.
No one ever.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So he's taken a rope off of the ring post.
That's his bull rope.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see. So Terry's in a bad way here.
And now they're in the crowd. Oh, my gosh. Dude.
We're not sure what's happening now.
He's got the rope around his neck. This is shady, dude. And everyone's, like, just crowded around them.
See, he's got the streamers all over him.
He's just covered in streamers, and he's got that bull rope.
It's total, like, chaotic feeling, you know?
Totally, yeah. This is really crazy looking.
So he's dragging around. They're back at... Oh, there you go, Terry. So they're back in the ring now. Did you see that?
Dope.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Those stomps.
That's really.
Yeah. He's
that what you're talking about when people are probably like, dude, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like
chill out.
Chill out on that.
Yeah.
He was really kicking on his head.
Yeah, stomping it into the mat. Look at that. Which is like sketchy looking, like him Terry Funk bleeding, laying on the ground
and
having his head.
That's pretty brutal, dude.
Yeah. Look at this.
Oh my gosh.
So now
he's trying to choke him out over the ropes.
He's trying to hang him.
Hang him with the dude.
There's all those photographers there, you know. The pictures of that, they straight up they look like Manson family murder pictures. Like the La Bianca house or something. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really like grisly looking.
Yeah, even what we saw already.
Yeah, it's really something. Even I like oh man, you know, a lot of the times that they've got blood, it's in the pictures. You know, kind of real fantastical thing, but there's such a like
the lynching.
Yeah, aspect of it. Yeah, and I mean. That's a credit to Terry Funk, because, like, the face that he's making, you know?
Yeah.
That's something else. Facial expressions is, like, that's such a huge thing.
I agree.
And that's something, like, that the old school guys, like that. Oh, okay, see, look
at what's
Dory.
Going on.
So that's Dory Jr. He's coming out to try to save his brother now.
So, like, would this have been orchestrated?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And you know what? That's actually something we didn't talk about.
Dude, and he looks shady, dude.
Dory Jr. So that, you know, that's actually a big miss. We didn't talk about that in the Jumbo Tin Room match. That was a clean finish. No interference or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also huge because all throughout the 80s, in All Japan specifically, it was all finishes like this. Just double count out or a disqualification or something.
So
no one ever lost.
Yeah, so what happened here?
So
they
rang
the bell.
The match would either be thrown out or Stan Hansen would win by disqualification because Dory interfered on Terry's behalf.
Got it.
So it was always stuff like that.
But it's okay.
You hardly ever anyone would like no hardly anyone would ever get pinned or anything,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
Just bad finishes, you know?
Okay.
That's something else that Tenryu match started was like from there on it was essentially all clean finishes. Huh. That's a big thing that I missed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that because I don't know the history.
Yeah, yeah.
But
anyways, there you go. This match is winding down now.
I don't know. That was pretty spectacular.
It was awesome.
I mean, just as someone who's never seen anything.
Yeah.
That had kind of all the elements there.
Well, like I said, it has like kind of all the elements that you look for, or that, you know, at least I look for in, you know, professional wrestling match.
Yeah.
Just like that tag team match did, but this is a little different, you know?
It had that...
Just in a different way, I guess.
Yeah, it had that, there was a big, like, what-if factor there, which is, I guess I'm finding that to be a little important to me. Knowing that it's staged, you know, to whatever extent, but, like, there was that was a dangerous-looking match.
Yeah.
Which is a credit to their abilities.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whatever level that act was actual, it doesn't matter because it makes you feel like it is. And that's their job. But, you know, with the rope and those head kicks was pretty...
That's the heavy. Yeah, that's like...
And you could kind of see the man that Terry, like, came out
like,
kind of trying to get out of that, like, in a
survival instinct, not like as a wrestling move, like.
Yeah. But dude, look at him just all he's kind of confused, you know?
Yeah.
That's like that's not to like pretend like I'm some like gnarly old school like wrestling guy anything, but like no one would act like that nowadays, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like no one would sell like that.
Yeah, right.
Physically or just the facial expression.
Yeah.
Like that is lost.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I mean, I would think, to me, that was a match that, I mean, that's worthy in the pantheon, like, we've been watching.
Yeah, you think so? Okay. I mean, I absolutely love that match.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very favorite of mine.
Yeah.
More than anything, like, it doesn't have the reputation that those other matches have. Because that's, like, a big part of it is I'm going off of reputation.
Yeah,
like,
and I mean,
some kind of substantial reputation.
And are you finding that a lot of that has to do with what happened in the personal histories of the wrestlers leading up to the match and then also subsequently?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that wasn't as big of a thing for these two?
Well, I mean, that also, like, there's so much that goes into building a reputation and who cultivates that reputation or that narrative.
Yeah.
A match like that, where it's not for a title, it's a singles match of several other matches on a card that's not necessarily, like, part of a big... Like, they had been... This was a feud,
mm-hmm.
you know? But there was other stuff going on, too. It wasn't like, this is the top.
Okay. It was just a wrestling match.
Yeah, over the title or, you know, some personal thing.
Which matter... I guess that context matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, because to me, as someone who doesn't know any of that, I mean, if you put that up against pure wrestling that we've watched,
mm-hmm.
that seems to have a lot of the spirit of the better ones that we've seen.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, there's a big what-if factor there, and there's, like, a lot of energy and character to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like professional wrestling, but I don't know.
But
it was kind of harrowing. It was
you just wonder a little bit.
You got to have that mystery. And I'm finding that I can, what can satisfy that for me, it seems like, is some kind of outside force or like a tertiary character who's like that manager guy or someone's wife.
Or baby doll.
I mean, that can kind of, like, get you there in lieu of the, like, just that weird, raw, like, dude, he's kicking that guy's head in,
mm-hmm.
and the guy's, like, trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
You need something to have a mystery of what's real and what's not.
Meaning, like, that third party acts as the surrogate for you, the viewer?
It's like, it keeps it, like, the third party, it does the same thing as, like, the moment where he's roping the guy or he's kicking his head in.
Yeah.
In that they both kind of, like, keep it into a weird mystery realm. Like, it's not, okay, we're not watching MMA, like... Or sumo or something where it's like,
oh,
like, okay, I know that they're physically competing, like,
yeah,
but we're also not watching like the cheese ball Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
la-di-da.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like somewhere in that middle range,
and that's what that third party represents
to me.
That third party represents the ability to blur the line between what's real and what's not
to me,
because. They like that third party may represent the Hulk Hogan aspect,
right?
Whereas what's happening in the ring
is like
that could represent MMA, for instance,
exactly,
depending on the context.
Yeah.
But because both of those things are there, that creates a mystery and you're not sure where that line is,
exactly.
So, let me ask you this, like, so the both times that you've brought up, like, I kind of don't know. It's been really bloody, like, aggressive brawls.
Yeah.
could that exist in like in a different context, like in a more professional context? Like, for instance, I mean, we'll get to some matches later on, but like, let's of what we've watched, let's say Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat, that long 2 out of 3 yeah, falls yeah. match. Like, so there's a spot that we both missed referencing live as it happened, but 16 elbow drops. Ricky Steamboat gives 16 elbow drops to Ric Flair's leg. Is it something like that that's obviously theatrical and obviously planned and cooperative, mm-hmm. but could that give you that same feeling of like, how far are these guys going to go?
Yeah, I think so. But I think something like that's a little more nuanced and a little less like intuitive.
Yeah, like you have to know
a few more things than I know.
Yeah.
But like without being like kind of led there, but yeah. I mean, but with that, it's a lot of things fall into place and I can see a new dimension of it.
Yeah.
But that other what if element kind of, I mean, for instance, like if you had that bizarre manager
mm-hmm.
in that last Japan match.
The Terry Funk one? Sam Hansen one?
Sorry, not the...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Like, yeah, the Jumbo Cerruto one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, those two could go harder.
Yeah.
As like a straight wrestling. But he would add an element to be where I'd be like, dude, I don't know what's going to happen here. And like, I don't know what's going on.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I know that wouldn't happen, but like, that's the only way I can explain.
Huh.
It like... he does a really good job of like serving as a foil to like the imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like that Japan match, was that New Japan? That last one we won.
No, all Japan. Both of those were all Japan.
It was like it wasn't very imaginative to the
right.
to the casual viewer.
Yeah.
To a wrestling fan, you know, that's different. But like
But to the casual viewer...
Yeah. The imagination, you need to be on a different plane to understand, because the imagination comes from how they're executing the moves and
right.
the pacing of everything. I can appreciate that, but I can't in-tune that
right.
as easily as, like, if there's a foil there into another world that kind of keeps it a haze over it.
Yeah.
So, like, that last... The Stan Hansen thing... A way to get there for me is through the violence.
Uh-huh.
If I can't really tell what they're going to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but like, that was effective because it wasn't as... it was brutal, but, like, unlike the cage match, bringing that bull rope in...
Yeah.
...was... that's where you get absurd.
Yeah, yeah.
So you... that's what keeps it in that realm of, like...
Yeah.
It gets a little more interesting... And so the bull rope is the foil.
That's the third party.
Like, party, you know. If he doesn't have that, and he's kicking his head in, I'm still like shocked and like wondering. But that's a little more of like a primal thing,
like a primal reaction. Like
is
whoa.
He gonna break the guy's neck? Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But with the bull rope, it's like, okay, I know they're like planning this, and this is professional wrestling, but man. He might, like, snap the guy's neck
yeah.
here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know how... Because they're trying to push each other. And, like, the Terry guy's trying to sell the martyrdom.
Yeah.
And then Stan Hansen's trying to sell the being the heel and, like, going on him
yeah.
brutally.
Yeah.
So it's like, who's going to relent first?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So for that, I think that's a worthy kind of match.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, going back to the Jumbo Tenryu match, because they, like you noted how hard they were hitting each other and stuff.
Yeah.
If there had been that third party, so as it was then, your reaction was, this is a very hard-hitting professional wrestling match.
Yeah.
And there was never a moment when you felt like, I don't really know what's going on here. Like, there's no blurred lines for you at all.
Right.
The hard hitting to you represented
physicality,
and I'm allowing you to hit me hard because this is what we're doing in the match.
Yeah, and it's like a show of strength,
yeah.
endurance, like,
yeah.
for on both of their parts.
Yeah, both in character and out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if there had been a third element there, like Jim Cornette or something, just something bizarre. Everything happened the same, but there was, let's say, Jim Cornette freaking out and waving his tennis racket periodically. Would that match have given you... Would that have added a haze to it?
Yeah, definitely. I think he creates disruption in every sense, but in the sense that, like, you start to question what is planned and not... And what is the point? What are they trying to achieve here?
Right.
Because it seemed clear to me what they were trying to achieve when it's the two of them. They're trying to have a pure wrestling match.
Right. Which you know is fake.
Which we all know is fake.
Yeah.
But it doesn't detract from the athleticism they're bringing to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're proud of that.
Yeah.
And I can admire that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. There's nothing to that my imagination can spin on, but if you bring someone absurd in there, to disrupt that the setup, then now I am questioning how hard they're hitting each other and what significance that might have.
But because that third party represents professional wrestling to you as you know it, and as you know it is an absurd spectacle where Hulk Hogan stomps and punches and misses the person or something like that.
Exactly.
So that recontextualizes the match that you're watching and puts it into a realm that you're not sure of based on your preconceived notions of what professional wrestling is?
Probably.
Okay.
But I mean, I think...
I don't mean that as a bad thing.
No, but I think just in general you could make a case that It would add a level there that would disrupt the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't really know what to trust because it's all about trust.
Yeah. And believability.
Believability.
Yeah. Suspending disbelief and all that.
Yeah, and as a casual viewer, I'm constantly looking at what I should be trusting. What are they wanting me to trust, and what are they trying to convey?
Yeah.
So you throw that kind of wrench in the cogs there, and I think you then pay attention to the physicality in a different way.
Yeah.
And it becomes a little more uncertain. I don't think they would need to have done anything different. There wouldn't have needed to be blood or anything, just they keep going like that, but you have such an absurd third character or element. And suddenly you start to have to really criticize everything.
Yeah, how hard are these guys actually pushing themselves?
Yeah, because I wouldn't be used to it in that context.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think anyone would be,
Right.
It would kind of, so.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. That's something that's real interesting that I'm looking forward to exploring more throughout various matches. Let me ask you this. Would you watch... What you know those death matches that I like?
Yeah.
Would you watch one of those?
How long are they?
Something in the realm of 20 minutes.
Is with the light tubes and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can maybe do one.
I don't know
that my tolerance level could.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe there's a morbid curiosity there.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't, did you ever? Because I played a couple of those behind us when we've played before.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any of those?
I mean, I think the only things, the memories I have were so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That it was just okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really remember a lot.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, we're not going to do the questions or anything for this. So it was just like a little curiosity of my own. I just wanted to show you those matches. So before we go, Jordan, what's your blood type?
No,
for the folks at home?
I don't want to do my blood type. It's sugar positive.
No, X. Blood type X.
Blood type.
The Chronic Six song.
Okay. Yeah. That's all.
Any plugs for you, Jordan?
No, but I will say powdered sugar over solid chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the solid chocolate's, it's waxy.
I'll eat them. I will eat those all day.
I can't do that. They changed either one of them. I can't really do anymore. They changed them a few years back.
Yeah, they did. But I think the powdered is the way, though.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's my plug.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at @_burningspirits. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back next time. Bye.